Hello, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. It's Sunday the 11th of October 2009, and today we are bringing you another special feature. Today we return to the Pentagon. We've done two investigative pieces on this so far with Dr. Frank Legg, and we've interviewed Dr. Legg twice, and the second time we covered the Pentagon exclusively. Now, this particular subject of the Pentagon attack on September 11, 2001 is a subject which is causing a lot of friction among members of the 9/11 truth movement. And it's unfortunate, I think, because, I do have a pretty strong position on disinformation, and I totally deplore the spread of disinformation and misinformation deliberately, which I think has occurred in research in 9/11, and particularly the people who go around saying that there were no planes at the World Trade Center. And that sort of thing, because it's really, really quite ridiculous, and because they haven't really been able to ever substantiate their outrageous sort of theory with any fact, that is actually quite undermining. And I have no problem with basically saying, look, we're not going to, you know, include that on our show, and we're not going to basically allow discussions like that to take over our forums and things, because they're just pointless and they are undermining. However, the questions about the Pentagon are, to me, genuine questions. And most people have them. Most people who are interested in what happened on 9/11 have questions about the Pentagon. I have questions about the Pentagon. They never released the video to show us the planes coming in, so we have nothing to go on. We actually have no visual evidence. We have photographs that show, you know, some sort of event occurring, a hole which seems too small, and basically witness statements, quite a few of them, which have to be taken, you know, at face value. You just have to accept the witness statements. So given all that, I think that when people come along and they want to investigate and they want to do some research, that it seems quite reasonable to look at different possibilities. Now, of course, a lot of this is speculation, and I don't think speculation is necessarily going to solve the problem. But I think in the case of the citizen investigation team and their National Security Alert film, I think that they've actually gone beyond speculation. I think they've actually put together some verifiable information, which definitely conflicts with the official story and definitely conflicts with the view that a plane hit the Pentagon, at least along the path that we've been told. So bearing all that in mind, I will just take a short little sting here, and then I'll introduce our guest. Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome to the show today Craig Rank, calling us from California. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Hereward. It's Craig Ranke, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what did you think of my little introduction there I gave? Have you got any comments on that? Because I'd like to, at the beginning of this show, really try and deal with the suggestion that what you guys are doing is somehow disinformation, because that is clouding the discussion. And I know that these claims have been made by certain people. Jim Hoffman and a few others seem to have taken this position. I don't understand it. Can you just give me your take on it, and you know, just tell our listeners whether or not, you know, are you spreading disinfo?
The answer is patently no, and I think anyone who's closely looked at the information with an objective mind frame will quickly be able to see that, because frankly, we're not asking you to believe us. We're asking you to believe the witnesses, the people who were actually there and watched the event go down. So it's not a matter of believing what we say. There's no theory. We didn't launch this investigation to prove a theory. It's another misconception about what we've done. People try to suggest that we went there trying to prove a flyover at the Pentagon. This is certainly not the case. We went to Arlington to talk to the eyewitnesses to find out what they saw, to put an end to the theorizing and the speculation.
Okay.
And the things that were happening and all the people, the conjecture that was swirling around and confusing everybody as to what really happened in Arlington that day.
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, we certainly are not spreading disinformation, and you're right, there is a small contingency of people within the movement who are trying to accuse us of this, baselessly, of course. We call it a pseudo-controversy because, frankly, the controversy that you're talking about, we don't see very often in the real world. We've been to many 9/11 conferences and spoken in New York on 9/11 this year, in fact. And, you know, everywhere we go, we're just greeted with nothing but praise and people who absolutely question the event and support the research that we've done. But not only that, but we also have an unprecedented amount of support from a lot of the notable figures and scholars and activists and researchers and experts within the movement, and unbiased military people and journalists as well, who have endorsed our latest presentation, National Security Alert.
Yeah, well, I noticed you've got some pretty credible witnesses in your film. You've got like three policemen. I mean, two of them are actually filmed by you, and they seem very genuine and very keen to actually share their information. And you've said in the film that they've stood by their claims, even knowing what the implications of that are, which is difficult for a policeman to do. I mean, you know, they work for the government, so... That's impressive, although you did say in the film that the police are now gagged. They're not really allowed to talk about it anymore.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not trying to say that they support any sort of theory. Many of them are certainly in denial, as just like a lot of you may be aware, when you present this information to somebody who's not aware of it, their mind tends to shut down. There's a psychological hurdle that you need to leap over to even consider the notion that 9/11 was an inside job. So naturally, these witnesses who are not aware of the implications of what they saw when we talked to them, who now are aware, are either scared to talk, or have, in the case of these police officers, we're definitely told that they can't talk to the media anymore without approval. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be difficult to get approval to have them talk about their experience on 9/11 now.
Indeed. And... You know, the number of people who've spoken out, I guess, just needs to be greater to get that greater groundswell.
Right. People need to feel safe and feel protected in speaking out, the witnesses. And, you know, that's a difficult situation for a lot of them. Now, you know, just to back it up, we might as well give your listeners a quick overview of what we've discovered.
Excellent. Thanks. Yeah.
Sure. My partner and I, Aldo Marquis, we've made several trips to Arlington, Virginia, to interview eyewitnesses on the scene, to find out exactly what happened at the Pentagon. And everyone we spoke with unanimously told us they saw a twin-engine passenger jet airliner flying low, treetop level, headed fast towards the building, timed simultaneously with an explosion. So right away, we started realizing, of course, there was a big plane there. These talk about missile or Global Hawks or A-3 Sky Warriors and small planes is likely not true. That was quickly determined. Now, what we determined then, of course, was to compare the location of this plane and the trajectory and the flight path in relation to all of the official reports and the physical damage, which really delineates a very specific trajectory requiring the plane to be on the south side of Columbia Pike and on the south side of the former Citgo gas station at all times, in order to line up with the physical damage, namely the light poles, the five down light poles, and of course the generator trailer that was billowing out diesel fuel smoke and turned askew, and then the damage to the building leading from the E-ring facade all the way to the C-ring hole, the strange round anomalous C-ring hole. It's all very directional and lines up in a manner that requires a plane, physically requires the plane to be on the south side.
Now, if I can just interject there, the sure. government is committed to the south side flight path because of what they said in the 9/11 Commission, where they demonstrated the path, didn't they? They've actually committed themselves to saying that that was the actual path that it took.
Absolutely. They presented an animation during the 9/11 Commission hearings that were broadcast on CNN, and we present that animation and that broadcast in National Security Alert showing how they commit to a south-southern approach flight path. So there's no way around it. Of course, even without these government reports, the physical damage is what requires it, because we really don't take any government report at face value. We only accept independent, verifiable evidence as a means to determine what happened that day. And so ultimately, the photographic evidence of the location of the light poles and all of the physical damage requires a plane to be on the south side of that gas station, when, in fact, that's not what any of the witnesses we spoke with in a position to tell told us that they saw.
Okay. So the physical evidence includes the clipped light poles, the flight recorder data, the angle that it came in on the building, I guess the topography. Does the topography allow for the plane to have perhaps come in on that other angle and actually hit the building? I mean, you don't really sort of explore that possibility that it did hit the building, but it hit it from a different angle.
No, it's absolutely impossible. And the light poles make this obvious